My name is Frank. I am an addict.
That's right.
My gratitude speaks when I care and share with others in a Narcotics Anonymous way. Somebody said that it is such an important statement in our program that it has a whole page just for itself, and is on our medallion. Whether you want to look at one side or the other, being the back or the front, is on the medallion. The question is, what does that look like? Because one of the things I've learned through this process is that I can be here physically, but I may not be here spiritually. I've learned that in many parts of my life. At home, work, whatever, out there, in here, out there, it doesn't matter. It's what does it look like in my life today is what I have to take a look at, and that's where my recovery takes me. One of the things that I see, like in the step working guide, what I like to come out of a lot of times for, is it talks about the spiritual awakening thing, and it's what it looks like. It said, for instance, knowing which spiritual principle to practice in any given situation is difficult, but it is usually the opposite of the character defects we would normally be acting out on. For instance, if we feel compelled to exert absolute control over a situation, we can practice the principle of trust. If we would usually be self-righteous in a certain situation, we can practice the principle of humility. If our first impulse is to withdraw and isolate, we can reach out instead. The work we did in the seventh step on finding the opposite of our character defects, and the work we did at the beginning of this step on identifying the spiritual principles in our previous steps will give us some additional idea about the principles we need to practice. Though most of us will wind up with very similar lists of spiritual principles, the attention we devote to certain ones will reflect our individual needs. And see, what that tells me a lot of times in this process is this is an individual experience. It's no one size fit all. What I would call humility looks like one thing in my life, but it may look like something else in somebody else's. That's their recovery. Mm-hmm. What this step has taught me is, and it may not say it full out in the literature, but it tells me to mind my own fucking business. It's not up to me anymore to tell anybody anything about how to do any goddamn thing. I share my experience with you. I'm not here to lecture you, judge you, I'm not a judge. I'm not the governor. Mm-hmm. I'm just a trusted servant. And what does it mean? That's why we put secretary on our thing, treasurer, servants. That's what we do now. We go out there and we serve and help the still suffering addict. Because when we needed it, back so many moons ago when we came up in this room, there was somebody there to help us. Whether or not we clicked with them or not, there was something somebody said in the beginning that touched our lives that helped start that energy going, that thirst and that hunger or that hope that something can change in our lives. Because I don't know about you. I was standing out here smoking a cigarette on this curb, right? And because we were trying to find some smart way to go against the rules. They asked us not to smoke out here, right? For whatever reason. And I was standing out here on the curb, and I was like, oh, no, get further away. And I stepped off in the curb, and I stepped into something that splattered on my clothes, on my shoes, and I was thinking, like, motherfucker, you know what? No more cigarettes, man. Let's go back inside. I used to use in this apartment over here. And the thing I caught myself doing is every time I walked out there, I looked for that, those are townhomes. I looked at the third one. Because back in the days, back when Hurricane Rita was coming through here, I used to deal to a couple that lived here, and if the umbrella on the porch was up, that meant it was safe for me to come by. If the umbrella was down, that meant the husband is home, don't come by here. Because the thing was, the husband would meet me someplace else and said, don't tell her. And she would tell me to come over here, but don't tell him. I learned a lesson from that. In our active addiction, we were some sneaky ass motherfuckers. We did some stupid ass shit. But see, now the thing about recovery now is that we can do things in others' lives and in our own lives that will no longer come off as sneaky, creepy, mm-hmm. or underhanded, you know? But it takes time. We didn't become addicts overnight. We didn't act on all the behaviors overnight. So if anybody expects us to be angels overnight, tell them to go fuck themselves. Don't say it out loud, but just keep that in your head. No, really. That's what I do now. Yeah. Because you'll see it. If you run this program long enough, or you anywhere long enough, there are going to be people that's going to look at you and pass off judgment, or they're going to come off and try to say shit to you, and it's like, okay, I got you. That is what a spiritual awakening looks like for me now. I ain't got to confront nobody anymore. I don't have to answer to you anymore. I don't have to respond. Today, now I can, like the last speaker said, I can take it under advisement. Because we always need something to remind us, shift this way, shift that way. Because no such thing as a straight path anymore. It's a mixture of things that happen now, right? And if we focus on carrying the message of recovery according to our own experiences, we will find that this is a very rewarding, it's a rewarding journey. We were outside talking earlier, and we were sharing about our different our experience in our careers. And what I noticed was our similarities. And we never took time out to share our similarity. And I felt a bond. And also, it got me to, it also confirmed some things for me. It also gave me permission to be. But at the same note, I also know that there's somebody else that knows exactly what I go through on a daily basis. It may be on a different scale, but it's a daily basis. As a recovering addict, that's what I choose to be for you. There was a member in this Third Coast group that I remember when I first came into this program. I used to come off with this attitude, and you can tell I got an attitude.
Yeah.
Right? But that's okay.
Yeah.
But I used to come up with this attitude was, this is a high school musical. This is a bunch of phony bullshitters. They're bullshit. Higher power, spiritual principle. And then this one member spoke up, and he started sharing, and I was like, ooh, I can talk like that?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Okay, I can do this. I can do it. See, somebody gave me hope. They shared their experience, strength, and hope in an honest way, according to themselves, and it reached me. The way I speak may not be pleasing to other people, but that's okay. So people sit up here and talk, and I'm sitting back there. I have a hearing defect, right? I have a hearing impairment, and also have a speech impairment. It took 12 years for them to get my language to this point, because when you're deaf, you can't hear things. And so when you speak, where I come from, if you speak with confidence, you speak. If you're sneaky, you bop some bullshit, you're going to mumble off every now and then. That's my experience. Is that for me to use that against you now? No. That's maybe where you come from, it might be different. The way I speak right now may be upsetting to some people. But where I come from, that's okay. That's how you're supposed to speak when you are confident and you understand things. So this program has taught me, mind your own fucking business. It's not your business what other people are doing. You take care of what you, Frank, can take care of. That's what we said, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I can't change a goddamn thing about any damn person, right? And excuse me if my language is strong, that's Frank. You know, and I apologize for some that may find it offensive. But you know what? Go talk to your sponsor about that. Because that's your shit. That's not my shit no more. This is Frank, and I got to be Frank the best way I can. In time, I will learn to tone down, because somebody told me I would. And if you've been here when I got here, believe me, this is toned down.
Yes, sir.
Because that's the funny thing about this program, right? This meeting in particular, the guy gave the history of it. And, you know, I came here March 6th of 2008. And it was about a month or so later when I actually started making this meeting. So this meeting is 11 years old. My recovery is 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And one of the starters of this meeting took me under her wing. And she showed me how to do service. She showed me how to go do keep an inventory for the meetings. She was preparing me to take the position that she was in. And when she passed, there was a part of me that wanted to cry. And I did. Even now, I still feel it. Because it was terrible the way she died. And you know, it was fucked up. You know. Because when you're poor, you got no choice. But anyway, and so a part of me wanted to, of course I jumped out with, I gotta kill my feelings, I'm gonna hurt you something. Shut the fuck up, Frank. The spirit came and told me, shut the fuck up. What she taught you, you carry on her legacy. You carry on her message, and you be the next one for the next person. That's what you do. Each one teach one. And if I'm teaching you, you teach him, and he teaches him, and he teaches her, so be it. That's how that's how the room was here when I needed it. So why not keep giving back so it will be here for somebody else? Because it talks about in our literature, now we have this concern for others. We have a concern for others. That's what we're using. The only time I was concerned about you is if he's up, he's going to have me some good stuff, right? And if you didn't supply, you didn't come back with give me the feedback like I want you to, then I have a resentment against you, and then you're going to have some problems. Now in this program, if you don't come back, okay. That's okay. You don't come back, it's okay. I'm still here. I'm going to give you the best that I can give you and leave the rest of that shit alone. It takes a while before you get into that place. Am I there every day? No. That's the sad part about it. That's the good part about it. Some days I'm up, some days I'm down. Some days I'm to the left, some days I'm to the right. Some days I'm leaning forward, some days I'm just leaning back. I love this shit. This is the best I've felt in so long. I'm juiced. I'm sad. I'm fearful. I can still lie. I can still cheat. But today the difference is I make these decisions. Consciously now. And I'm okay with my decisions. Today, I want not to harm others. Today, I want to be a servant. To be of use to the society in which I now live. Where before, I didn't really give a shit. I didn't give a fuck what you wanted or don't want. You got my shit for me? Alright, cool, let's do this. If you don't have my shit, let my motherfucker get the fuck out of my way. What are we here? Why are we still standing here talking to each other? Move. I can still take that energy and come here. And how it will look today is, you want recovery? This is what I did. You don't want to do it? Okay. You let me know. But every time I see you, I'm going to still bring it to you. And I'm going to be okay with that. Because today, I have the hope. Today, I have principles in my life. Today, because of these principles with this program, they have given me the push I need to move down the path of life. Because what did we use in the first place? We were clueless. We had no purpose. We were doing some useless shit because we thought that the drugs were going to solve a lot of our problems. Because remember the first time we got high, we were like, hey, yo, I want to do that again because it made us feel something. Then we kept on chasing it, and the reality was it just kept on going down, 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 and down. Or things, law enforcement got in our lives. I remember it was Harris County. Adult supervision? Are you fucking kidding me? I'm an adult, and I can need supervision? And I got to pay these motherfuckers for it. I got a picture of a jail cell on my phone. I look at it, you can see the tore up mattress, that stainless steel toilet, that stainless steel sink, the one with that little water fountain that comes off. Mm-hmm. You say the little baggies, and you fill it up, pinch a hole in it, that's how you got your water. Come on, man, we will reduce the animal level. And I want to go back to that shit again? I don't think so, motherfucker. But the problem is, I will go back there again. Because of some perceived notion that there was something good back there. And so, you know, I go back and like think and realize, oh, no, no, no. Oh, I relapsed. Oh, no. You know what? I can't do this shit no more. I don't want to. But the reality is, like it says in the chapter on recovery and relapse, Let me know when I'm running out of time, because I lost track of that shit. Yeah. But in the section on recovery and relapse, one of the things they point out to us is relapse is a part. We are prone to obsession and compulsion. That endless loop that leads nowhere, right here in our step welcome guide. Step one. Hold up. It says right here, how can we tell when our disease is active? When we become trapped in an obsessive, compulsive, self-centered routine, endless loop that leads nowhere but to physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional decay. What does that look like in our lives? We gotta always see what does that look like and stop the bullshit. This is Frank is talking to Frank, okay? This is the spirit talking to Frank. He says, Frank, stop this bullshit. You are not that person anymore. What you are this being that have to get involved with your spirit. Because we were spiritual deficients, right? We weren't morally corrupt or bankrupt. We were spiritually deficient. And now we talk about the spiritual awakening. We're awake again. And we recognize we're going to fall in love. We're going to go out of love. We're going to be unemployed. We're going to have employment. We're going to bank. We're going to not bank. We're going to do this and just be able to, okay with life is life. And life is moving. And we got to keep on going and go back and forth. Like when you got to skate, you go left, right, left, right. And you glide and you move. Mm-hmm. This is how life looks like for me today. That's what my awakening looks like. I'm sorry if some people may not see that way. But my mind is simple. I'm just a simple man. So I see things in the simplest of ways. But as long as I can believe in this, this recovery shit works. It works so well. What I got to do, though, I got to make my meetings regularly. Get and use a sponsor. Call another recovering addict regularly. Right? Take a phone call from another recovering addict. Because sometimes, you've seen it, you're on the phone with somebody, and all of a sudden, everything that you were experiencing or you were feeling or that crazy thought that went through your head all of a sudden becomes clear. And you're like, oh, there's a solution. We're here for solutions now. Our problem? We need solutions. So now that we are here, we got to keep on making our meetings, getting involved with our sponsor, getting involved with the literature. Because literature is a good source of information. Because it's not written by some committee. It's written by a bunch of other members that have found a way to stay clean. That's what the miracle thing about it. And the writing is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And so, the funny thing about it is, what we read today, all of a sudden, 2 weeks from now, or what we read last week, all of a sudden today has a whole new flavor. It touches us differently because our experience has not shifted. We cannot conquer the vast ocean of uncertainty until we are willing to overcome that fear of losing sight of what is so familiar, or my sponsor said, the land of familiarity. We have to be willing to let go of what was once familiar to us. And it takes time. And we do this thing on an experimental basis. The literature talks to us about that. The members before us tell us, we try this stuff experimentally. It's nothing concrete. Because this is not the only way to stay clean. But right now, this is what works for me. And I'm feeling so hopeful about it because there were times when, I had to go to a judge. I went to a judge downtown Houston. This was back in 2007. And I asked, please, if you can help me, please help me. If you lock me up in prison for 5 years, my 5 year sentence, if that's going to fix me, then let's do this right now. Please don't let me walk back out that door. And she said, we got good news. We can help you. But you have to come back next week. And you come back, you better come back clean. And we will help you. And as soon as I walked out of that fucking court, you know what I did? I went on a bench. I went on a major bench. I came back the following week. And when I went back to the court, they never checked me to see how dirty I was. Mm-hmm. They just took me in. They put me in county for 1 week. Then they released me to Harris County treatment system. And they took me and put me in Humboldt for 6 months. And I relearned. They reprogrammed me. That was the best thing that happened. My life was so fucked up. Wife is gone. My business went to shit. Twice. House is gone. Car is gone. Bank account's gone. Kids are gone. Everything is gone. It was fucked up. And the fucked up thing is, worse than that, is that I would actually go back to the same behavior that took me there in the first place. Because I didn't work these 12 steps. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And that is what I try to do on a regular basis now. And this is my experience. I say, share with me your experience. Like my famous line they say is famous. Break me off a piece of your recovery. Show me what it looks like in your life and help me. That way I can help you. And we can ping pong back and forth and help each other out. Because this is a fucked up shit, man. We were using dope. Illegal shit. Shit cooked in bathtubs. If you saw the way I cooked that meth, shit, I wouldn't even want to breathe. Today, fucking, look at that.
Yeah.
It's a result of those fucking chemicals. I have DLE now. Shit, some fucked up shit. Anyway, thank you for letting me share.